Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Joining us now on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, a man who spent many a day in Frontier Town. He is Scott Petrak from the Chronicle Telegram. Hello, Scott.
What's going on, guys?
How are you, buddy?
Is that true? Were you a Frontier Town guy?
No, you know what? I mean, I like to the point. I was never a big roller coaster guy, though.
Yeah, me neither. Good way to lose your lunch.
Stomach drop.
Exactly right. It's exactly right. So, everybody getting a little relaxation before the big push begins. Does that include John Dorsey, or is John still looking, tweaking? There are some free agents out there who might still be interesting. Do you expect anything to happen before training camp?
Well, he's probably relaxing, but he's looking at his iPad or whatever he does to check the roster and look at teams or check the waiver wire and that kind of thing. You know, I would not be stunned at all if John made a couple of moves. We saw him do it last year, right? Greg Robinson was signed after the minicamp was over, and we know how that turned out. Winds up starting the last eight games and gets another one-year deal and is going to be your starter at left tackle. Michael Kendricks was here for minicamp last year, but he was a late signee. And then I think a few guys made the roster that were added in training camp. So he never stops. The difference is this year, the roster's in a much better place than it was a year ago. So I think he'd have to find the right fit, and I would watch defensive line. I still feel like that's a position where the depth might not be as strong as John wants it to be. I know Freddie Kitchens said he thought they were 10 deep. You know, that seems like a bit of a stretch to me. I would not be surprised if John added, especially a D tackle. I think that third D tackle, you know, they were looking at Gerald McCoy for a long time. Somebody that could come in and be in that rotation with Richardson and Ogunjobi, I think Dorsey would like to improve right there.
Scott, I meant to ask you this last time we had you on. You had a story where you were talking about Demaryius Randall and that he wants to play closer to the line of scrimmage. And, you know, we always saw Jabril Peppers in that. What was the philosophy? Because I think a lot of us sit back now and go, what was Greg Williams thinking? Why were those guys so far off the ball?
That's an interesting topic to me because Greg's been doing this forever, right? So any head coach that hires him knows he's going to do that. Now, it wasn't common knowledge to me until Greg got here that he played that angel safety so deep, but if you look back, he did. He played other guys, you know, wherever he's been. He just feels like if you play that free safety so deep, it prevents the other team from beating you with huge plays. And he wants to take his chances with the team lining up and going six, seven, eight plays to beat you as opposed to throwing the ball over the top. Now, we saw him get beat plenty of times, you know, especially in 2017, you know, the 0-16, where it was, you know, Green Bay just threw six-yard pass after six-yard pass and killed the Browns, right? And they weren't the only team to do that. But that was his philosophy, especially when he got here. He looked at the team the season before, and the Browns had given up a ton of big plays, and he said, that's the way I'm going to stop it from happening. But what surprised me was he didn't make the adjustment from 17 to 18. You not only you got Demaryius, who's a playmaker, and he had him playing just as far back or close enough to where Jabril Peppers was, and Randall felt like it took him out of the defense. And what we're starting to learn more about now that Greg's not here is that Greg wasn't flexible enough to adapt and to listen to his players. We saw it with Myles Garrett, the pass rush moves. We saw it with Demaryius Randall begging to play closer to the line and Greg not letting him do it.
Would drive those guys crazy? I mean, I'm really interested to watch Jabril Peppers this year and see what he looks like.
Well, it'll be interesting. Yeah, you're right. It'll be interesting to see Jabril. Now, you know, Jabril was closer last year in the strong safety spot, but didn't have the impact I expected him to. And maybe that's because he's still only in his second year, and maybe he'll break out with the Giants. But I think it's interesting. I was talking to somebody, some station out of town, and they were asking me about, you know, oh, is Greg Williams going to be missed? Because he's a big name and, you know, obviously went to the Jets and won a Super Bowl with New Orleans. But I don't think he will. You know, part of those reasons we mentioned, and part of, I think Greg's a guy whose message probably grows stale in a hurry. And, you know, we talked about this last year when they were making that run at the end of the season. And, man, can Greg come back and be the head coach? And part of me always felt like this is a guy that has a limited shelf life with how long he can get through to guys, because I think they tune him out. And I think there's a resentment factor among some guys, not all the guys, but I think some guys just don't appreciate Greg's style. And now you can hear guys a year later, Greg's not here, and it's kind of starting to come to the forefront a little bit.
Scott Petrak joining us from the Chronicle-Telegram. Gil Brandt on NFL.com, Scott, has a story out now, the most talented teams in the NFL. And, of course, Gil, the former personnel guy of the Dallas Cowboys, has the Browns at number 9 right now. And he says the question talent-wise is along the offensive line. And can left tackle Greg Robinson continue to build? And can they find somebody at right guard and everything else? Well, where's your concern level on the offensive line, and where do you think John Dorsey's concern level is?
It's there. There is a concern level. You know, if you're going to ask me the position I would be most worried about, I would probably say the O-line. You know, linebacker's up there just because Kirksey's coming off an injury, hasn't had the impact we thought he would once the Browns signed him to that extension. You know, Joe Schobert, this is a big year for him, and then you get the rookies. But I don't think the linebackers are going to sink this team. Even if those guys struggle, I think the defense can overcome with a big-time front four and the secondary that they have. But offensive line, if Greg Robinson doesn't play well, then they're in trouble, because I don't think they have a necessarily just an automatic guy that can step in if Greg Robinson struggles or gets hurt, which is another area Dorsey might be looking at in the next month before training camp starts. And then right guard, you know, like Gil mentioned, it's a question mark for sure. I'm surprised that Austin Corbett hasn't seized that spot yet, and maybe that's just the coaching staff saying, hey, you got to prove it to us. But it seemed like you could have just gone with your five guys throughout OTAs and minicamp and said, this is our lineup, but they didn't do that. So I think that is reason to be concerned, you know, especially the fact that Austin didn't play much last year. And then they get rid of Kevin Zeitler and open the spot for him, and they haven't guaranteed him. So that does concern me some. But having said that, I think right guard's a spot where you just have to have somebody who can play it. And they have options, and I think they'll be able to find a guy that can plug and play there. Left tackle is a bigger concern. Now, if Greg Robinson plays like he did last year and plays like the number two pick in the draft that he was only 5 years ago,
Yeah. They're
set. And we saw it in the second half of last season where they only gave up a league low 5 sacks. But if Robinson is inconsistent like he was early in his career, which is why he's bounced around, then you have reason to worry. And then a lot of it falls on Baker, right? Baker makes the line look better. I don't know if he can make, if your left tackle is not playing at least an average level, I don't know if Baker can make up for that.
How about right tackle? Not much has been mentioned about right tackle. Chris Hubbard, you know, the starter from last year. But they brought in Kendall Lamb from Houston, who started plenty for the Texans last year. And I just thought, all right, did Kendall Lamb come here to be a backup, or was he given a chance? Did they say, hey, you can come in and compete for a starting job?
Right. Well, I think they want Chris Hubbard to win the job because, you know, John Dorsey went out and signed him last year, right? That was one of his first free agent signings. They gave him a decent contract. Now, part of that was influenced by Todd Haley, who knew Chris Hubbard from Pittsburgh, and then gave him his endorsement, and obviously Todd Haley's not here anymore, so that's a factor, but John Dorsey signed off on it. I think Kendall Lamb gives you the option if Chris Hubbard struggles, and I know the Pro Football Focus did not like Chris Hubbard last year, but when I talked to Chris the second half of last season, he was adamant that he had made a technique change, and I think he told me it was about week 5 or week 6, and he felt that changed his season, and that it really helped him be a better pass protector. And I don't know how you can argue with that when the sacks went down for Baker. And sure, you had a change at left tackle, but I thought Chris Hubbard played better in the second half of last season. Now, right tackle's as important as it's ever been in this league, probably more important because most teams have the bookend pass rushers, just like the Browns have Garrett and Vernon. You can't just, you can't leave your left tackle alone and devote all your help to the right side like you once could and it was kind of a position that wasn't as important as it is now. So he's going to have a big role here, but I do think the second half that he had personally gives me hope that he'll hold off Lamb and be solid in that spot. But if he struggles, at least you know you have a guy that can step in. And I just don't know if that's the same on the left side. And for a while you had Desmond Harrison, you're like, all right, at least you have a backup plan. But he's gone, and I don't know what that backup plan is at left tackle. Maybe Lamb can be the swing guy, but he feels more like a right tackle than me.
Let me ask a couple questions just about like logistics here. Okay, so the Browns reached an agreement to stay with the city of Berea through 2029. What does that mean for training camp? What does that mean for, you know, the facility itself? I think that's a, you know, it's a good deal for the city of Berea because, let's face it, they make some pretty decent money off taxes from that. And I'm also wondering, with Jimmy Haslam buying into the crew and the crew getting a new stadium, if some of this isn't going to go down to Columbus at some point for training camp.
Sure. I think that's always going to be a question, is the Columbus thing. But from everything I've heard, there's nothing imminent at all. And I believe that when you make that agreement with Berea, it's obviously for the year-round facility, and it's good for the city, and it's good for the team to have stability, and there's not that question hanging over the, you know, and I think it's 2039, right? So they're not going anywhere for 20 years.
Oh, okay.
But I don't think it locks them in for training camp. And when, you know, the Haslams will be looking for, you know, they look for every revenue stream they can get. And I think they want, okay, if we open that Columbus market even further, you know, that's what it's all about. But I think they need to win for a little bit. And I believe that's one of the reasons they've been hesitant. While it's been discussed time and time again, I think one of the reasons they've been hesitant to move training camp is the team's been so bad. And how do you take it away? How do you take away these free practices and the access to these fans that have been great, and we haven't paid them back? Now, they start winning playoff games, and they go to Super Bowl. They can do whatever they want, and the backlash will probably be minimalized. And then you could see them really try to get a foothold in Columbus. But I would also say this, if they win playoff games and go to a Super Bowl, Columbus fans will come to Cleveland anyway. You know, so I think it's one of those things where it's unnecessary to move, but like we saw them play the brown and orange scrimmage down there, you could see a week, or maybe you could see a weekend of practices down there. And that seems to me like a fair compromise, because you just don't want to diss the fans. I mean, you're out there training camp. You see the same fans every day, every year.
Right.
I think it would be an injustice to take it away from those people.
I will say one more really, really quick thing, that when they had the brown and orange scrimmage down in Akron a couple years ago, I thought that was a great call. Wouldn't surprise me if they do that in Columbus. And I wouldn't be surprised if they decide to stay with this preseason schedule thing. There's this thing that, I don't know, did you notice that the Packers-Raiders preseason game in Winnipeg, those tickets are through the roof right now.
Are they
and,
really?
Yeah, and it makes you kind of think that maybe if they move these preseason games out of the home city into places where they don't have football, they may have another revenue stream there. And you don't force your season ticket holders to have to buy preseason games that don't mean anything.
Well, that's probably the best part of it, right? I mean, if you're a Browns fan and you've gone to that fourth preseason game, which is a dud because none of the starters play, half the guys on the plane aren't making your roster, if you save $100 and they go somewhere else and play it, and you can make money that way, that does seem like a win-win.
Yeah, the Packers-Raiders in Winnipeg, cheapest seats are $112 apiece.
Wow.
I don't know if that's Canadian or American, but
that's a good idea. Still pretty, come up with that.
That's not a bad idea at all.
Scott, thanks, buddy.
Thanks, man.
All right. Thanks, folks.
He is Scott Petrak. He writes for the Chronicle-Telegram, covers the Browns, brownzone.com. You can read all of his work, and he joins us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.